Hey, hey, guys, we're back.
Woo-hoo.
I know you guys missed us. I missed us, too.
I didn't even know we left.
Yeah. I was in a Vicodin haze from back surgery, so, you know.
It was like nothing really changed between the three of us, to be honest with you, because we talk so much.
No.
Yeah, the voice texts were slightly drugged up this time, but... I don't think we would have been sued had I come on here and it like, hey guys, want to know some stuff?
I mean, it sucks because we were kind of missing, not kind of, we were missing the very end of Pump Rules and the Valley, but I think there's plenty of stuff to talk about still.
Yeah, Vanderpump mm-hmm. Rules Secrets Revealed. That was actually kind of the best episode of the season.
1,000%.
Something that like really like we need to talk about here on the show today is like they finally revealed Tom Sandoval's offer, paltry, insulting offer to Ariana for the house. Mm-hmm. 600,000 when it would be 900,000 to a million. But something that's been bugging me and I want to like share with our readers here. Our readers.
Same thing.
Our readers, we like to think of ourselves as authors here. No, but with our listeners, it's how the business of being on Bravo works and how the money flows and payments and deals. Because when Sheena and Lala were kept all season telling Ariana, you're making a ton of money, get the hell out, go get an apartment, you can afford it. What they don't realize is how those payments work and as much money as she's on. What would you say on the books to make with all these deals she's getting? Those deals don't pay right away.
Like, I'm sorry. It's like, oh, a deal is announced. Like, how often, like, would you get hired for a job? You still don't get paid until like mm-hmm. 2 weeks after you start that job or a month or whatever. So like, imagine these deals, like the way that they're structured, like then you have to go film it and then it has to do whatever you could net not get paid for 90, 180 days.
Yeah, that's a big thing because it was always, look at how many deals Ariana's getting. Well, number one, she has to grab them while you can because it doesn't last forever. But the other thing too is these deals, and I work in social media and with these kind of people, and I handle some sponsored deals like what she does. Like if you go to, I was looking at her Instagram before we came on, April 8th, she had her BIC sponsorship up. Her partnership with BIC, where she does the new ladies razor. And those I'm really familiar with how the deals work. First of all, she's under contract for a lot of money. I mean, I was looking at that. I was looking at her followers. I was looking at the views. And I was trying to gauge it. That's a six-figure reel. Because it wasn't just at home in the bathroom. Like, I like to use BIC. It was a filmed commercial. She was on set. I don't know if it aired on TV, but just by the Instagram and socials, it would be easily 200,000 or so.
It could also be a streaming one too. Could just
yeah, and then if they use it in other places, it goes up even more. But I was just going based on the quality. It was a real commercial put to Instagram. She has a huge following. She's hot. They easily offered her like 200. Plus for that. But the way the payments are structured, depending on your manager, depending on your agent, depending on your lawyer, because they negotiate these things, including terms of payment, but you don't get paid for a long, long time. So say, let's make up a number. Okay, let's say it was a sponsored post plus a story. So say $100,000. So upon signing, you will get half. But if you have a good negotiator, like a manager or an agent handling it, you should get half up front. That, so say $50,000. And then again, you have a lawyer, an agent, and a manager. Immediately, a chunk of that is gone. Mm-hmm. That's before taxes. So say that $50,000 for the first installment is down to, I don't know,
like 40,000.
Yeah, with taxes, then add in taxes, I mean, that 50,000 becomes 25, 30, but then the rest of the payment, and they may not give you half. They may only give you like 25%. I'm being generous here, but just trying to paint a picture of how it works. And then so say you get a chunk of it on signing, and then of course it goes to representation and taxes. You have to do that. Then you film the actual commercial. That could be at a later date. Then there's editing, whatever. And then once you post it, and here's where it takes forever. A lot of these contracts, unless she has a really top-notch negotiator, it's standard practice that once you post it, which is completing your end of the deal, they wait 90 days. So say what I'm trying to illustrate here is say Ariana with a $100,000 sponsored post will not see the full $100,000 easily for 6 months from signing the contract to setting up the post to completing the post. And then there's the waiting period. And of that 100,000, she'll probably walk away with 50 to 60 set over in installments over like 6 months.
So let me posit it to you. So let's say like a bunch of the stuff that she got, like sponsored deals that she got right after Scandoval happened, like as Scandoval was like unfolding, and maybe right as about they're about to start like picking up cameras again in June of 2023. So she filmed that stuff. She still wasn't really getting fully paid out for that stuff till probably the end of summer 2023, maybe beginning of fall, correct?
Right.
So she's not seeing all that money that Lala and Sheena and other people are going into her for until after filming has even wrapped on the latest season, correct?
Right.
Okay.
Right. And you know, the funny thing is people like Sheena and Lala would know this. They've been through it. They know. I mean, well, maybe
they're also producer shills this season, as you were saying, like, you know, that Lala was doing the producer's work and stuff, and it's backfired completely. Yeah,
it has. I mean, I was reading through posts today and people are turning on the producer, Alex Baskin. They're saying he's blaming the audience now for the intensity of the conflict. And they're like, no, it was you using Sheena and Lala as a prop all season. And everyone picked up on it. Like, don't blame. The audience is so well trained now and experienced. We can see right through it.
Yep.
Yeah. With I'm using Ariana example as an example. I got an accent there. Example. But that is the way it works. So say, I don't know how much she's made fully, but let's say she raked in like 2 million in sponsorships post Scandoval. It could easily take a year before that money clears and she'll only see a percentage of it. And by the time it's done, I mean, I would like to be in that situation.
I hate it.
Because let's say she raked in 2 million, but after taxes and after paying out lawyers, managers, agents, she might only see half a million of that.
Like, correct.
In all honesty.
Because also the way these payments work, depending on your accountant, another person you need to pay. If you have an operation as big as hers at this point, you need an accountant. Another issue is, say you're getting paid for one day of work, $25,000. The way they tax that is assuming you get paid $25,000 per day. Mm-hmm. You get the highest tax rate. Even though it might just be one day, a one-off, they tax you as if you're at the highest earning tax bracket. And then so some of the money you're entitled to, you're not even going to see till next year when you sort out your taxes, because the IRS is withholding a huge chunk, assuming you're making millions a month based on the little projects you do.
And can we go back to the house about the offer? Like, I feel like there's more on that.
Oh yeah, I did the math on that. We posted it on Twitter, but so I guess, what did he give her? A $600,000 offer?
Yeah.
To buy her out. And this part is like beyond, it's beyond reason or logic. He wanted to keep her name on the loan, which is like
that's the dumbest part of it. That is the dumbest. I mean, so when he's like, I'm being reasonable and giving her a fair offer. No, you aren't. You're keeping her shackled to you unfairly and financially. That's financial abuse, in all honesty.
Yeah. And given that he can't afford to pay her out and he wants her on the loan, so when he is essentially, it's pretty much a given that he would default on the loan. He can't afford it. It would go into foreclosure. Even though she's moved on and moved out, she'll be in foreclosure too.
But he's leasing a new Rolls Royce in order to roll up on filming and to like try to like, you know, pretend that he's going to buy a new house with Tom Schwartz and pay $22,000 a month on a new mortgage. For God's sake.
This is, we'll have to get into that in a second too, because another thing I want to explain is how, like, we were talking about this in the text and stuff, like what housewives make and how much it costs to be on Bravo. And Tom Sandoval is a major example of everything you shouldn't do, because Bravo is not going to make you rich. Bravo, the Bravo seller, and I give Jill Zarin credit for this because she's the one who said this in an interview years ago and it stuck with me. She was like, the Bravo salary will not make you rich. She was referring to people like Alex McCord and Simon Van Kempen. She's like, I had castmates who gave up jobs and everything thinking Bravo, the Bravo salary was going to support them forever. It doesn't happen that way. Which is too, remember, they like both quit their jobs and they became essentially housewives, was keeping a roof over their head. But what she said is, where you make money on Housewives, or what you need to do if you're smart, is come in with a business to promote. You know, that you can make money off of that. So that's where the long-term benefit is. Because a Bravo salary, again, we just broke down the management fees and the taxes for stuff like this. So a Bravo salary, I would say at the end of the year, if you're a solid mid-tier housewife, it works out to about like a doctor's salary. It's a good living for normal people. You know, you say you make $1 million a year and then you walk away with like $500,000 after all those fees go out and everything. It's a very good living with zero stability or guarantee from year to year. So it's not really a career like a doctor or a lawyer. A doctor or lawyer will be much better off in the end as they face retirement and stuff. But the other thing is, talking about Sandoval and stuff, what I think Vanderpump Rules this season was paid, the rumor was $35,000 an episode. It worked out to about $700,000 each. So Sandoval would walk away with, I don't know, a few hundred thou, 400 thou. The reason you're on Bravo is because you live an aspirational lifestyle. So it costs a lot to be on Bravo. Stupid people like Sandoval leasing Rolls Royces. The show is not leasing them for him. One of the best examples for me is Dorit. We know, I think we could say her money is not Kathy's. Her money is not Sutton's. It's a lot of show. She puts out a lot in wardrobe and hair. And some of these people who spend their whole salary trying to stay on the show that's paying them. The parties aren't fully paid for. Bravo helps and production helps and things like that. But if you go really over the top, they're not paying for everything. So it's easy, especially it's with all shows, but I would say like shows like Beverly Hills, the ones where it's not even pressure. You are expected to have multiple Birkins. You're expected to have a Bentley. You're expected to fly private to your girls' trip villa. I mean, you could easily blow that kind of money keeping up with your castmates. So it's almost it's a cycle of high-end poverty.
Yeah.
Oh my God, a cycle of high-end poverty. That's true, though. That's absolutely true. Because I also know that when they are auditioning these women to be on Housewives, a lot of it is, what area of town do you live in, of whatever city it is? Like, what is your house like? How much does your house cost? Like, how big is your house? Like, tell us about your house. And there'll even be, because some of these women are aspirational in their riches. Like, they would be what we would consider like upper middle class or even like lower upper class, you know, but because of the way that life is skewed so much these days, it's almost like you'll hear about a lot of housewives renting a place. Oh, you don't even own your home. And that'll get thrown back at them. But in a sense, they have to rent a new house because in order to be on the show, in order to look like they have the lifestyle, even though they might have the money for it, but their house, you know, it's one of those things of like, you can be cash rich, but house poor. And some people are house rich, but cash poor. So you've got a lot of that inversion happening on these shows. So when they throw out that you don't even own your home, you rent, nowadays they go, they still might have more money than you though. Like, who cares? Who cares if they're renting? Like, can they afford the rent? Like, sometimes, and I've gotten backlash about this, but sometimes in some markets, it is better to rent. It is cheaper to rent than it is to own. In some markets, just depends on what markets you're in, but sometimes it is better. So, I mean, like, who was it on Beverly Hills? What was her name? Who was only on first season, but she was super rich just 2 years ago.
Oh my God. Neuro. It was energy drink. How can we blank on her name?
I know. It starts with an S or something.
Sanilla Diana. Sanilla was her full name. Diana Jenkins.
Diana Jenkins. Like, she was renting a house here in Los Angeles, but she'd already owned a home and she'd sold a home here and she was renting, but she's super rich. So
she's
like,
the house she sold before film, and she sold for over $80 million.
Exactly.
And it was cash. So, I mean, some people are so rich, the house doesn't matter. House owner. Oh God, this is so terrible. House ownership might be a mark of pride for like the middle classes. It doesn't matter.
But it's like Sonia. Like, Sonia, in a lot of ways, was house rich but cash poor. And so, but she was so house rich but cash poor, she couldn't then keep up the house. And like, then we see like with the auction, just happened with that house.
The famous narrative of Grey Gardens and Sonia Morgan. It's same thing. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can't. Yeah. But one thing I want to say, though, I guess it kind of ties it all together, is how you can make a ton of money off of Bravo, which is basically the reason to go on Bravo, because they're making it sound all bad. I'm like, the salaries, you're not going to get a ton off sponsors, or you're not going to get everything you think off sponsorships. No, but the reason to go on Bravo is because it takes a regular person or celebrity, whatever. What it does is turn you into a walking billboard. Think of it as a walking billboard. That's how you get your brand sponsorships. So almost, if the salary is maintaining your image and your lifestyle to stay on the show, to keep you elevated and a public figure so that brands can come to you so you could wear their products, advertise their drinks or teas or their razor blades, whatever it is, that's where the bonus money is that you really can put away or put out, or, you know, put away or build another business. It makes you a celebrity. And that's where a lot of the money is. Like we were saying with Ariana, she's making a lot more than she ever dreamed of. It's just like a matter of structure, you know, structuring the payment. But so for people like, we need some examples here. Who's a good one? Kyle and Teresa, they're top tier. You know, there's like a tier, there's a hierarchy in the housewives business. Kyle and Teresa are the top tier as far as payment status within the Bravo. It used to be Nene too, but Nene's left. But I mean, they are the foundations of the show, their shows. And so they get really high salaries, but they also command really, really high rates for their sponsorships, hundreds and hundreds of thousands. So they might make a couple million off Bravo. I don't know their salaries, but they're at the top of the pay scale. The filming is like 6 months. What is it, like about four months a year? Mm-hmm. So you get a couple million, and that's in Bravo payment, by the way, I want to say. You also don't get paid right away. That is when the season starts to air. So you sign your contract, you film for months, and you're putting out some money there. I mean, you don't have your Bravo paycheck yet, and you're buying Birkins or getting Botox or throwing girls parties, whatever it is. And then that's 4 months. You essentially get paid about a year later. Then you go 4 months, then it goes hiatus for editing. You know, it might come out 4 or 5 months later. You're basically not paid till almost a year later. And you're counting on that money and living as if you have that money.
Damn.
But, yeah.
And aren't some housewives, like, if you're a lower tier housewife, or if, like, you're just in, like, your first couple of seasons, like, some of them are only paid per episode that they're in? Or if, correct, like, you're a friend of, like, if you're like, yeah, if you're an established one, like Kyle or Teresa, like an OG, or even like a mid-tier one, like Shannon, mm-hmm, or, you know, she's the only one I can think of right now, but like they've got guarantees. But if you were like a newer one, let's just say like Monica from Salt, yeah, Lake City. Like, granted, she's only been one season. She will only be one season. She might have only been guaranteed, like, only, you only get paid per episode. So if you're not in a certain, if you're not only in, you know, 5 episodes as opposed to 10 episodes, you're only going to get paid for 5 episodes, even though you filmed the entire season.
Right. The first season, the second season is where the real money is. Okay. The first season, if you've joined an established franchise, your first season, unless you're coming in a big name, again, that's kind of a more Beverly Hills thing where they try to recruit, you know, Lisa Rinna or Garcelle or Denise Richards, established names. But just say standard, Salt Lake City is a good example with Monica. Her castmates might be making $400,000 or $500,000. Your first season, you're essentially auditioning, you might make $60,000. You're not going, and that's again before taxes and stuff. And then once you hit second season, you have leverage to negotiate like a real like a real housewife. And then that's where the pay bump goes. Like I was saying, like say people like Teresa or Kyle, or even like the mid-tier ones. And some of these are ex ones too, because Sonia, I know she sold her townhouse. Luann, they still do really well. One of the reasons Bethany kept returning is, like I said, it's a cycle of poverty, not saying Bethany's poor, is that you need to stay on these shows. You need to be a current public figure to command the best rates for these sponsorships. And so once you're off the show, your rate does go down and interest in you goes down. So say someone like Kathy Hilton, just a friend of, and we all know she doesn't need the money. Yeah. She's a friend of anyone on Bravo. Kathy doesn't need the money. But it's a friend of, you know, which I don't know the pay structure, probably per episode, whatever. That doesn't mean much to her. But what it does, she's already famous. She's already rich, whatever. But she is now a current cast member of a lifestyle show. And where the money is sponsorships, just like every other housewife. So like I was saying with people like Shannon or Kyle or Teresa, or whatever, the goal is to stay on the show, keep that salary to keep your image running. But you could make, say, Teresa probably makes $2 million a season, but she probably rakes in even more than that doing sponsorships and partnership deals. And it's easy money. It just takes a long time to get paid. You're using Bravo as a launch pad to get all that other stuff. And that's why they need to stay on the shows. Like Kathy does not need Bravo, but it just enhances her marketability.
What about the businesses that some of them start, like Sonia's, you know, toaster oven, or like She by Sheree slash Sheen?
Oh my God. The you picked the most successful businesses in all of Bravo history. Well, I do know this. Like, a lot of us already know about the Bethany Clause, and that's the famous thing Bethany brought out, where if you're promoting or launching a product on the show, Bravo wants a cut. Mm-hmm. And Bethany famously in her contract X'd it out. She would not sign off on the clause giving Bravo a claim to her. What would you call it? Like intellectual show, business property, whatever.
Yeah.
And then she went on to launch Skinny Girl and make a fortune. And Bravo would have, she's so smart for that, because then Bethany would have ended up, Bravo would have owned a cut of Skinny Girl and she sold it. But there are so many ways around it. Bravo has, I always wonder, Bravo has to be in on it. No, I mean, Bravo kind of has to be aware, but a lot of these women just flagrantly violate the Bethany contract. And they do it in sneaky ways so that they can keep all the money. Because there is another angle. Oh, this is getting good. There's another angle where you can incorporate your sponsorships into the show. Mm. And then you're getting paid double.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I was talking about earlier, like say Ariana, a lot of that is social media posts. That's separate. But there's a whole secret backdoor deal world where housewives and Bravo celebrities try to sneak products onto camera to incorporate them into the show without Bravo catching it.
Is this like when Kelly Benciman on the last girls, like New York girls trip, like brought all that stuff for everybody? And
yes.
And okay.
That was such a good example because she got called out.
Mm-hmm.
She got called out. Remember, she came her bag of all her favorite cosmetics and things, and she's sitting there at the table giving it to the women. And I just love this moisturizer, and I just love this candle. And which one of the women called her out and was like, "I'm not participating."
I feel like it was Ramona, but I don't remember exactly.
Yeah, like they're like, "I'm not participating in this because if you want me to play along, the brand has to pay me too." They weren't mad. They were basically just mad she got these deals and they weren't, you know, because that's what they do. And what they'll do sometimes is say, here's a good one to keep an eye out for, because you're not guaranteed. If Bravo isn't aware of the sponsorship and cut into it, then you can't guarantee they're going to make it. It's going to air. And then what do? The company wasted money. So what they'll do is make these like contingency contracts where they might pay you a little and give you the product for free. So and then the payment comes once the show airs and they see if you made it. So say like a wine brand and you're having a dinner party. Oh, this is perfect because it ties everything in. So like I was saying about trying to keep your expenses low because it costs a lot to be on the show. And the sponsorships, say you're having a girls' dinner on Real Housewives and you need flowers, like lavish flowers. I'm not talking about like a food, you know, those like $1,500 a flower wall, whatever it is, like thousands of dollars worth. A way they do these backdoor deals is the company will provide the flowers to you. So right there, you have a huge expense at your lavish on-camera party taken care of. They'll send you the $10,000 arrangement of, you know, flowers for the room, put little cards in, you know, to make sure it's filmed for camera. And the deal is once the season airs, if it made it, because, you know, they film months and months and only a small portion gets shared. If it doesn't make it on camera, you're fine. You got $10,000 worth of flowers free. But if it does make it on camera, you reach out to them like with a screenshot and they'll send you $10,000, $20,000, whatever your arrangement with them is.
Interesting.
And these are behind the scenes. How, that's why housewives get weird. Like Kelly Ben Simone with those products. She was like awkward and stumbling. But there are housewives who do it really smoothly if you keep an eye out. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like they're daring Bravo to say something. Because some of these deals aren't even in writing.
You know, it makes me think similarly on Married to Medicine. Toya has a deal with Kendall Jackson Wines, of like, she's got a kind of her own like wine club type of thing that she's doing in Atlanta for like women and trying to get more women, especially like women of color, to drink more wine. And so that's a big brand deal for her with Kendall Jackson, but she was able to parlay that to make that a trip for the show out to Napa to Kendall Jackson wineries. But then at the end of the season, they were doing a party. I forget exactly. Why am I forgetting part of it? But anyway, all the women were like donating money to help run the party. But Toya didn't want to donate money. She was just going to donate wine instead of money. And then they were like, no, we don't need that. We need the money to do this stuff. So they basically took her name off as a host. But she got very mad about that. Because she was like, well, I'm donating thousands of dollars. They're like, but that's not really you donating that money. Like,
oh, they you're not called donating. Her out.
They basically called her out on it. They were like, no, without saying like, this is your brand. Like, but they called her out. They're like, but you're not really donating money to the cause. Like, you're donating free stuff from your sponsor. Mm-hmm. And that's not the same as we all are like opening out our own checkbooks and writing a check. Yeah. How we got that money, whatever. Like, if you're just like writing a check that came from your Kendall Jackson fund, great, that's awesome. But no, you didn't buy this wine and then are providing it. You got this wine for free.
Yeah, shoot. So I didn't catch that. That's totally, they were calling her out. Like, she was not just trying to skip giving them money by switching it for wine. By giving the wine, she was trying to force her sponsorship deal onto camera, and it's basically a bonus system. Every time your product appears, you owe me, you know, you send them an email, they have to send you, I'm making up a number here, $10,000. And that's what, and these are shady things that Bravo has to deal with a lot, but it can make you money. So if you guys notice, Nate, Stacy, I brought you guys this luxurious cream. I mean, I was just at the store the other day.
I was going to ask you about that.
Showed up all of a sudden at my apartment. I was like, what is this cream?
Oh my God. Before we sign off, let me just take a sip of this really refreshing Moscato. I was in a...
Have you tried these Ever Ready batteries? They're so much better than Duracell.
Well, on that note, thank you guys for coming back and listening. We're so excited to be back. And you know what else you can do to make our Bravo business dreams come true? Of course, rate, subscribe, review Pretty Corrupt Podcast. And of course, follow us on social media. That's TikTok and Instagram at Pretty Corrupt Podcast and Twitter at Pretty Corrupt One. Of course, from those accounts, you can find all of us, Stacy, Nate, and mine. And make sure, please, 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 to share so your friends could be as corrupt as you are.
Always.
Bring
it's
them
the
down.
It's the summer of corrupt.
Don't
it's
improve.
Pretty corrupt summer.
yeah, I like that. Pretty corrupt summer. Don't try to improve yourself. Bring your friends down to your level. On that note, who wants to say bye?
Adios.